This is the Uptick Network Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Penny stock news and interviews from the microcap world. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. With your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a great guest coming on. He's been on the show before. His name is Kyle Kennedy. Well, he is the CEO of Safari Exploration Corp. They trade on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol SFRX. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Everett, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be back. And again, it's an honor just to be on your show.
Well, stop it. Stop it. You know, last time you were on my show was back in July. I know that you guys were going through a couple of hiccups. You were looking for some new technology, looking ways to discover the shipwrecks. If you would, just give a about statement to my listeners of what you guys do and who you're all about.
Yeah, you know, to give you an update from last July, we had just received in the middle part of July a permit that would allow us to get out here and dig and identify this wreck further in a particular area called Area 1. And the results that we've had have been amazing in Area 1. We've dug up a big piece of the ship's upper deck. We dug up, and this is a piece about 16 feet long and 5 feet wide. And you don't normally get wood from the early 1700s. Normally the wood gets eaten up by woodworms and dissolved, et cetera. But the type of sand and silt that this wrecked in preserves this wood. And so we found a big piece of the upper deck. We found a piece of the ship's railing. We moved our digging a little further south into our area, knowing that that was the upper deck. We're looking for the lower deck. We then found a big piece of the ship's hull. And as you can probably guess, the treasure was stored in the hull. So if we find the hull, that tells us we're getting closer to some of what we're looking for, even though at the same time, you know, we want to do as much archaeological work as we can. And we even plan on bringing in more archaeologists to help us in that endeavor.
Now,
but we've had an exciting time.
Absolutely. Is this the colonial area that we're looking at for the ship time-wise, or Spanish?
It is.
Okay, colonial.
Most of the time frame that we try to stay within is roughly between 1502 and roughly maybe 1810 or before. And the majority of the wrecks we have are in the either 1500s, 1600s, or 1700s.
Well, give me the latest update from where we're at to actually, you know, being an investor, and I am an investor. You know, I want to know when the money's going to fall on the balance sheet. You know, when we're going to keep on draining the mule, and we're actually going to come to fruition that we're actually going to put some money on the balance sheet. Can you give us any kind of perspective about what's in progress?
Yeah, Everett, I can. And first of all, I want to thank you for being a shareholder. I think and hope that you'll be well rewarded this year, because if you are, I will be, and so will the rest of my shareholders. So I'm hoping for the best for you on that for sure. But to answer the question a little further, we've done several things here. One, we've tested some new technology that I think will help us advance our cause. The new technology isn't as accurate as what we would like it to be, but it does help our confidence with what we're going after in the way that it works. We've got a variety of things that we've done that give us optimism on this site. Like I said, finding part of the ship's hull was a fairly big deal for us. We know we're getting in the right area. So we've got a combination of things that are working for us. In addition to that, we've also got another site that we are procuring the federal admiralty claim on from 30-something years ago. Once we have the admiralty claim on that, we'll get a new recovery permit on that site in Chuno Beach. And that is a 1500s wreck that appears to have wrecked pretty far offshore, i.e. over a mile. So that's another wreck that we should be getting into later this year. This summer should be a really, really good summer for us, Everett. We've got all these targets. We've got a very strong plan. We've got a good group of guys. We've got all the equipment. We've got all the permits we need. This should be our summer. Everything should happen this summer.
So it's all going to come all together here in 2017.
I believe that it will. I really, really believe that it will. We spent almost 10 years. June of this year will be 10 years for me in this business. And, you know, I could not have conceived at all in the beginning the difficulties that we would have to encounter to get to this point. But we've spent, you know, probably over $11 million. And, you know, a great deal of time, i.e. 10 years. So it's taken a lot of hard work to get to this point. But this is the year I believe it'll actually begin to pay off.
How do you see the treasure business kind of evolving going forward?
You know what? That's a really good question. The business itself, in my opinion, is going to evolve because of organizations like NOAA and UNESCO. You know, these are major worldwide organizations that part of their job is to protect our cultural heritage.
Right.
And I think what you're going to see is an increase in professionalism, such as our company. You know, we teach our divers archaeology. We spend hundreds of thousands, if not over $1 million, just in research, you know, in researching these wrecks and writing reports and providing these reports free to the country of origin. And also to the state of Florida. So, you know, I think what we're going to see is an increase in, again, professionalism. I know we are in the process of bringing on some additional archaeologists from a huge organization here in the country, in the U.S. Those archaeologists will help ensure the archaeologists we already have on board can do a little bit more work, a little bit more efficiently, but certainly provide the reports that the academic world looks for. So I really see a change coming. And I also see a change coming with technology, you know, that'll help how we explore. And so between those two things, there's a lot of things that'll be changing, but I think it's for the better. And I think some of the old treasure hunters will sort of be weeded out because of lack of funds and financing and their abilities to compete in this changing world, because again, it's expensive to do these things, but you really need to be professional. You need to have a model that you don't sell your treasure, and most of these guys, that's the first thing they do. In fact, it's almost all of them. So, you know, those models of the old just aren't going to cut it in the future, at least in my opinion. I think we're leading the way in that arena.
My guest today is Kyle Kennedy. He is the CEO of Safari Exploration Corp. They trade on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol SFRX. Their market cap's only 7.1 million. Their stock's trading at about a third of a cent. Let me ask you this: when you find the gold, the rubies, whatever it is, the big jackpot, are you going to have to split that with any kind of nation, country, or something like that? Or tell me how that gets divided up among that, you guys get 100% of that?
Yes, Everett, it depends on the location of the wreck. The wrecks that we've got right now in Melbourne Beach and also in Juneau Beach, those wrecks belong actually to the state of Florida. And there were lawsuits in the past that went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that those ships that are within 3 miles of the low water mark in the state of Florida belong to the state of Florida, and that Spain abandoned those wrecks. And so by precedence of that, all these wrecks belong to the state of Florida. And so we negotiate a deal with the state of Florida where they get 20% and we get 80%.
Okay.
They get their 20% off the top at no cost. They get to make their selection first. They look for unique items, et cetera. But that's how the division starts. Now, if we go into federal waters, we actually make a federal claim and we have 100% of it. And then if we ever have a partner in any of the wrecks, then we have some kind of division with that particular
Absolutely.
Partner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what is your primary focus at this time? You guys are getting awful close. Where are we at in the process?
Yes. The primary focus for us is Melbourne Beach. You know, this is a site that we've worked really hard to get over the years. We finally have this site permitted and under our belt. We've identified, as I mentioned before, pretty big pieces of the ship. We know that we're very close in this new area that we were given back in July, actually. You know, so we're going to be focused on that area. We know this was a huge ship. We know that the ship has never been salvaged or any recovery work ever done on it. So our investigation into that area will be primary, and then we'll also eventually move back down into Juneau because that's a huge wreck from the 1500s. So, but our primary focus will be Melbourne Beach. There's just so many good things there that are so positive for us that we're going to pursue that for sure.
How deep is the wreck?
You know what? At Melbourne Beach, the deepest water we have is 55 feet. The wreck itself is in an average of 30 to 35 feet, under about 7 to 8 feet of sand. So, you know, the sand's not very deep. The water's not very deep. The biggest hindrance we have there is the visibility. Visibility there is very low because of the silty sand that we have, but that same silty sand is what preserves that wood, and that'll make it a heck of a wreck as we go through it.
I would like to say this. I do own a couple hundred thousand shares of this company. I bought it in the open market. The reason why I have, because if you guys do hit something, I've been a part of some other publicly traded companies that were in the same line of business you guys are at. Stock goes, you know, 100-fold. It's crazy if you guys hit something, what could happen to this stock. So a great risk to reward ratio, I think. And that's one of the reasons why I bought it, and also believe in the management here. Kyle Kennedy is my guest today. His company trades on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol SFRX. Kyle, in closing, is there anything you want to get out to my listeners that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Well, you covered some pretty good items in there, Everett. The only thing that I can say is that this year, again, should be our year. I can't emphasize that enough. We've got extremely positive things that are taking place. And I just truly believe that this year will be our year.
I want to thank you for coming on the show. Please don't wait 9 months to come back on my show. That's too long for me to wait.
I look forward to having something to talk about in less than 9 months. Yeah.
It's always a pleasure. I wish you nothing but continued success, and hopefully talk to you in about 40 or 50 days.
There you go. There you go. Everett, thank you very much.
The following program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire LLC, which is responsible for the following content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and of those of the respective companies they represent, and does not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of this station. Uptick Network encourages all listeners of the show to do their own due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that'll work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of today's show may have paid to appear on the show and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Network or this station.